Hey everybody, it's your boy Buzz from Bulls on Tap and Sox on Tap, brought to you by OnTapSportsNet.com. And I want to talk to you about something. These podcasts are now presented by Manscaped. If you're looking for the best manscaping products on the planet, go to Manscaped.com and browse their awesome selection. The Lawnmower 3.0 brings you 7,000 RPMs of skin-safe technology so you don't nick your balls or any other sensitive areas. Want to keep your boys fresh all day? No problem. Go and pick up the ball toner and deodorant so you're fresh all day long. Go to Manscaped.com and use promo code ONTAP to get 20% off and free shipping and handling on all your manscaping needs. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I am joined by my dude, as always, Goose, aka Bulls Scripted. And we are here to recap a 118-108 victory over the Dallas Mavericks. I don't know what Goose is doing with his mic there. He made it all crazy.
I just gave it a little jab. Trying to set my camera up so you can see my beautiful face. I accidentally gave the microphone a jab.
Are you mad at the Bears or something? Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, what's to be mad about? Win or lose, they got the same result that I guess you wanted.
Yeah, I guess. Anyway, we're here to recap a 118-108 victory over the Dallas Mavericks, and we'll talk about the two straight wins over the Wizards. We're not going to really go too deep into that. We are sorry we missed some episodes there, but with the holiday week and it being kind of crazy at work and with travel, that's why we missed a couple of those episodes. But we're back now. We are back now. And you do look beautiful. Very nice hoodie you got there too, my friend.
I know. It's a little hockey basketball crossover jersey there, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I dig it. I dig that shit. I wish people could see that. Anyway, be sure you're going on tapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at On Tap Sportsnet. Following Goose at Bull Scripted. Follow me at Buzz on Tap. Goose, we did not recap the Warriors game, I don't think, because that was a game that... We did. We did recap the Warriors game. We did not recap the Wizards game because that started at 6, and you were a little behind on that one, and then it was just a fucking holiday week. It was just hard. But the Bulls end up winning the Wizards game 115-107 for their first victory of the year. No way they can do it two times in a row. Thursday, I got to catch a glimpse of that game up in Wisconsin. I hooked up. There's actually no internet at the cabin up there, so we have to use hotspots off of our phones. But I was able to use a smart TV to download the NBC Sports Chicago app. I was able to watch the last little bit of that Wizards game. They do it again. They beat them two times in a row, 133-130. And then I did catch a little bit of the game against the Bucks on Friday, January 1st, where we were just pretty much dismantled. Was not a fun game to watch at all. Now, just key points of that. Did you see anything in those games? I know you probably watched them in depth more than I was able to. But Tuesday's game, Bulls look good. But did you see anything in those games you wanted to point out before we move into this Mavericks game?
No, I mean, the two games against the Wizards, we finished in the fourth with our veterans on the floor mainly. I mean, we're going to get more into tonight and kind of, I'm sure you noticed the lack of Wendell Carter Jr. for like the last 5 minutes of the game. But no, I mean, in the Wizards win, it's kind of ironic that we recapped the embarrassing buzzer beating loss that shouldn't have been against Golden State. And then we were MIA for a win streak. We went Will Ferrell streaking and we left our listeners hanging for the holiday. Nobody wanted to talk about that getting bucked. That was a little rough. No energy. Didn't have any answers for Giannis. Just letting him get to the rim at will. And it's going to be a few years before our anti-Giannis is ready to be an anti-Giannis. But tonight's game, no Luka. So it's a game that we should win. And we did win. So how are you feeling about that?
I feel good about that because that's something we said in the beginning of the season. Beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. Bulls move to 3-4 on the season. Unfortunately, we're 1-3 at home. That kind of blows. But we're 3-4 on the season. I'll take that. A Lucas Dallas team still has some talent on it. Obviously, they're without KP. We know this. Obviously, Luka didn't play tonight. But, you know, they still got some nice pieces on that team. And Jalen Brunson fucking balled out. Balled out. And you have known my obsession with Jalen Brunson for like 2 years now. I love Jalen Brunson. But I hated him tonight because he was balling out and I didn't like it. But I liked a lot of stuff that I saw tonight from the Bulls. I mean, Zach comes out 29 in the first half. I did feel it was like a little bit too much Zach LaVine ISO ball show. But when he was the only one being effective on the offense, I didn't even bitch about it. As if he was the only one initiating, he was the only one trying to force the issue. Kobe ran into foul trouble early. So, I mean, it wasn't able, you know, he wasn't able to get himself going immediately because of that foul trouble. But I liked what I saw tonight, man. I really did. I think that an underrated move, a lot of people are talking about the scoring outbursts between Zach LaVine and Kobe White, but I thought the fucking play of Daniel Gafford was absolutely fantastic tonight. I know he only had 4 boards, but I mean, he did a lot of little things out there tonight. He had a couple opportune boards, and if you look at three of the 4 rebounds, dude, they're offensive. That's good shit. That's good shit every time. So I really like that. And then, you know, our boy Denzel had to come in, shake, you know, dust off the shoulders and hit a couple fucking trays. He just cracks me up watching him play. He actually got away with a little one tonight, too, where he said a defender touched the ball even though he didn't touch the fucking ball. I thought that was kind of cute and funny. But other than that, I'm happy, man. I'm happy. Our 2 guards played well, and a couple other guys played real well, too, to help the Bulls secure this win.
No, yeah, it was the tale of two halves with Zach and Kobe. You had Zach start the game 9 for 10, I think 21 points in the first quarter. Then the heat check came, and he kind of cooled off, but still held the record for the NBA this season for points and a half for about 45 minutes before Steph Curry went off at 34. So that was encouraging to see. A little upset that he didn't hit 40. He missed 1 free throw tonight, and it came at the end of the game, leaving him hanging there on 39. Kobe, I didn't like – it's hard to hate on him for the first half because, as you pointed out, Zach just had it going, and it was the Zach show, and there was really no reason to do anything else because it was working. So I don't know that we can use the foul trouble as an excuse because Billy kind of let him play through the foul trouble. But the second half, Kobe, when Zach, for whatever reason, came out of the second half not on fire anymore, Kobe picked up where he left off and carried us to the finish line here. I really like the and one at the end of the game on Cleaver, who was in the paint, in the restricted area, rather, amongst the other things while moving. But Kobe took it strong, got the and one, and he was pretty pumped after that. He was feeling himself. The physical play had him riled up. We won a game that we should have won, and hopefully we continue to do that because outside of the Kings here in this next stretch, it's not looking like smooth sailing.
Right, no, it's gonna get really hard, and it's not gonna be fun. And I was gonna point that out at the end of the episode. I am going to promise everybody that I will do my best, but I'm usually up at 4 in the morning. So these West Coast games, even when I do Sox on Taps, I'm usually MIA. Shit kills me. But me and Goose are the guys that do Bulls, so I'm gonna be drinking some Monster Energy drinks or some shit to stay awake for those. But yeah, that schedule is gonna get even more tough. But you know, I really liked what I saw from Kobe in the second half, and it wasn't just scoring either. You know, he had a couple opportune rebounds. He had a couple good assists. I just wish he'd get those turnovers down a little bit, and I think that comes in time. But as Stacey King pointed out on the broadcast tonight, he is being put in a position by Billy Donovan to be the point guard. You know, like, that is his position. There's a learning curve there, which is what Billy Donovan said, what was that, about 3-4 games ago. There's a learning curve here. As Stacey pointed out, I mean, Kobe's pretty much averaging like, you know, 15-5-5 right now. I'm all right with that. It's like 15-5-4, really. You know, 5 assists per game, 4 boards. I like what I'm seeing out of him. I just don't know. You know, he gets a lot of He gets a lot of hatred, and I feel like it's kind of unfair just because you're in a new position. You know, last year you were the point guard, sure, but you were used primarily as a spark to score off the bench because that's the role that you kind of asserted yourself in. But tonight, like I said, tonight I really got no complaints about either of their fucking stat lines, besides them combining for 8 turnovers. That doesn't, you know, help. But, I mean, 23, 5, and 7 for Coby White tonight with 4 turnovers, and then 39, 3 steals, 5 assists, 6 boards, and 4 turnovers for Zach LaVine. The guard play was pretty much phenomenal besides the turnovers.
Is it hard to feel, though, that only one of them is going to be on this team long term?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's absolutely the case. And
Do you think they feel that? Do you think they feel that tension?
I think Coby feels more safe than Zach does. I'll tell you that right now. I'll tell you that right now. I think Coby feels more safe than Zach does. These guys think about that. I mean, they have to. They absolutely have to think about it. I mean, you know, it's... You don't know if you're moving tomorrow, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's got to be a complete mind fuck, honestly. But I don't know. I mean, they've had a couple flashes where they played really well together, and I think tonight's one of those nights. And I just really wish it could happen with some consistency and against, you know, a little bit harder talent. You know, speaking of a young guy. You know, we're talking about Coby White here. Patrick Williams, he played really good defense tonight. I mean, he went 3 for 9, not a great offensive night, 6 points. He had 3 steals, though, 2 blocks, no turnovers, and 5 rebounds, 1 assist. Patrick Williams continues to do the little things. And once his offensive game comes to him, I mean, we've said this almost in every game about him. I mean, he's showing flashes of being a legitimate two-way player. I love the midi. I love the fact that he can get to the rim. I mean, he does a lot of things that are good. So, I mean, great game from him. Otto Porter doing Otto Porter things. 40% from the field tonight, 15 points, 7 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals. And then this is the point that I wanted to get to now, is because you alluded to this a little bit earlier. Wendell Carter Jr. played 23 minutes tonight. Obviously, he wasn't playing all that well. Now you watched the other games in depth, you know, because I was gone. I was out of town.
Thomas Bryant ate him alive in the second game.
I heard about that. He was just draining threes on him consistently. Is that what happened in that one?
I mean, it was just more so Thomas Bryant was getting off. Wendell Carter was supposed to be your guy to stop him, and it didn't happen. There's probably only 2 or 3 that are coming off the top of my head that I went and rewatched, where Wendell didn't close out on a 3 good enough, was kind of sagged off too far. But part of that was rotational. There was one post play where Thomas Bryant was feeling it and he went off on Wendell. But just the energy to see a guy who was cut from the Lakers team essentially for roster space and picked up by the Wizards, just outworking, out hustling, wanting it more, was kind of hard to watch in that second game because Wendell took advantage of him and his limited size, because he's got 30 pounds on Thomas Bryant. So they're about the same height, but Wendell's got the size on him. So to see Thomas come back the second game and give it to Wendell, and Gafford be the one to kind of fill the shoes and provide the energy and come off the bench and start making some of these plays to get the team rolling and feeling it again, similarly like we saw tonight, with that dunk on the mountain that is Boban. I don't know what's going on with Wendell. We had that one game, and his defense is not what it has been the first 2 years of his career, and many will say that gives hope that it's going to come around. It's just the new scheme. It's getting adapted. It's da-da-da. But I feel Billy's tried to empower him on both ends. He had that 3 tonight that was horrible, that he started looking around like somebody fouled the shit out of him. nobody touched you. You just wow. So I don't know what's going on with him. Honestly, Maxi Kleber was the biggest player for the Mavericks all night tonight. Thad Young, that's a good matchup. Billy did something similar. I believe it was at the end of the Wizards game where he put Thad in too, because Thad can match up and switch better than Wendell. And as much as we like to praise Wendell for his defensive versatility, he is the player that is still getting picked on in pick and roll situations on the defensive end.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed, though, as I watch some film, you know, this messing around on the phone here and watching even tonight's game, in that drop coverage, if Wendell doesn't get any help from the weak side, he's pretty much fucked. And we saw that on a play that took place with Otto Porter Jr. tonight, where he did not pick, who was that, Clawley Stein, right, who came for that nasty-ass oop. You know, if he would have blocked, or at least, you know, put a body on Clawley Stein, maybe there could have been a little bit more contention there to stop that. But Wendell's rotations look slow a little bit, too. I just feel like he's still a little bit confused on where he needs to be and how he needs to be there.
Well, and maybe his effort comes down to he's tired of getting put on posters because other people aren't doing their jobs, and he's taking the blame for it.
That's an absolute great point.
And that's fair.
That's a great point.
But the last thing that you can do in that situation, when it's the easiest thing to do, is give up. And we're seeing too much of that from Wendell. And I feel early the last two games, Billy has tried to get him going offensively to keep him engaged on both ends of the floor, and it just really hasn't worked.
Right. No, it's a great point, man. And when you got a guy like Daniel Gafford coming in, because whether we want to admit it or not, or anybody else wants to admit it that listens to this show or not, is you could see talent. You know who has it. You know who doesn't. You know who's fucking fighting for minutes, and you know who has their secured minutes. Obviously, Daniel Gafford in the beginning of the season wasn't really being looked at. This dude's going to scratch and claw for anything that he can get. Now, that's not me saying he is a better player than Wendell Carter Jr., but if he's going to outperform him in a year where Billy Donovan and Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley know that, okay, we're going to see what we have here. We're going to evaluate this talent. You know, you're going to have situations where other players are fighting for your playing time. And that's Thad Young being a veteran or not included in on that, too. I just want to throw that out there. Thad Young wants to fucking play. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't want to fucking sit there and collect a check. If there's anything I learned about Thad Young since his time here, and you said it when we signed him, because I wasn't all about it, and you were like, you know, dude, he's a vet's vet. You know, he is a good guy to have around, and I kudos to you for saying that, but he wants to play too. So he's going to try his heart out. Like, if Wendell's not getting it going and he's not contributing, there's a couple guys on this team that are going to take his fucking minutes, and they're going to take him quick.
Nope, Wendell is in a rough spot because Lowry is, or at least when he was active before he, you know, had his calf injury or whatever's going on there, and then got put on the safety protocol list while we're on the topic. Get well, Sato.
Hutch,
both confirmed positive with COVID. Still waiting on tests for Archie and Lowry to come back. I mean, they're still negative, but they're still testing. They're in the protocol, making sure that they're clear. Don't know if we'll get them back for the next game or the next two games. But Wendell has Lowry that plays situational center. You have Daniel Gafford, who you never have to question if he's playing his heart out. Every play that he's on the floor, he's giving you his all to the point of exhaustion. Then you have Thad, who is very versatile, and he makes $13.5 million a year. So he's going to bring it every night, and the reality is Bulls either need to play him or trade him, and the easiest way to trade him is by playing him and showcasing that he's still a very valuable player, which I feel Thad has done in a couple of these wins in late games, whether it's his post offense or just his awareness of situations in general. So we stole the win tonight without Luka. You could see him pretty pissed sitting there on the side tonight. Like, I could have gone. You guys told me to sit this one out, that you had it, and here we are losing to the Chicago Bulls.
Sucks to suck, buddy. No, I was kidding. You know, one more thing I wanted to throw out there about this game, too, before we kind of preview what's coming next, is I saw a lot of guys on Twitter, too, a lot of people on Twitter, now that I can finally be active on it, because like I was telling you, dude, up where we're at in Wisconsin, where my in-law's cabin is at, that you cannot get any signal. It's like, just to get that hot spot, you have to work your ass off to get it. Yeah, it's like, I feel like the shit switches on different days. But
so the hot spot is a G spot. Yeah.
Yeah, basically, you have to work hard to get it hot and heavy. So Anyway, so I was, scrolling through Twitter tonight. A lot of people were wondering why Garrett Temple was seeing so many minutes over Patrick Williams there on Jalen Brunson towards the end of the game. Guys, nine times out of ten, I don't care where the guy was drafted, unless you're like a bona fide motherfucking stud right off the bat, the vet is going to get more playing time than a rook. It's going to happen.
And we watched Jalen blow by Pat a few times. Jalen's falls into that category of small guards that are going to be difficult for Pat to guard
Right.
because he just is so big and bulky and athletic that those little shifty guys are like capable of going underneath his tree trunks that he has for legs. So no, Temple is the right move there in terms of Brunson. But I will say, and I forgot to point it out, Pat. And Wendell, Pat was point short, and Wendell was 2 points short of winning me like $200 tonight on a $5 like 15-leg parlay that I just threw out there. And so Billy, let Wendell play more than 23 minutes, and stop playing Temple over Pat, please.
You heard the man. You heard the man. So moving forward here after beating Dallas again, we're 3-4 on the season. Tomorrow, 9:30 tip off. God, I hate it. God, I hate that so fucking late. I hate the
Oh, I know you hate it. I want to let everybody know how mad Buzz gets at me because I finally have cable. I'm not watching illegal streams anymore, but I have Hulu Live. So my game is always like 5 minutes behind, and I'm getting text messages. Are you ready? Are you going to be ready to do this? And I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to finish the game, bro. I'll be ready. And I do not know what it is going to be like with this West Coast trip. If we're starting this late, it's going to be like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to be like, Buzz, I need 5 minutes. And he's going to be like, I don't have 5 fucking minutes. Get on the mic, or I am going to be at your house in the morning, and you can come to work with me.
Yeah, that's basically it, dude. Gotta get up at damn 4. I'm gonna do my best though, but we are playing the Portland Trail Blazers at 9:30 tomorrow night in Portland on our little mini West Coast trip here. The Bulls will be gone for 4 straight games. Portland on the 5th, the Kings on the 6th, the Lakers on the 8th, and the Clippers, which is a nice one, that's at 3 o'clock on the 10th, and then they will return home next Tuesday. So not this upcoming Tuesday, the Tuesday following on the 12th against the Celtics. So this is a tough little schedule here, and just being away from home. But we play the 3-2 Blazers, who are about to be 3-3. They're about to drop a game to Golden State here. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Nurkic, none of those are not easy covers. This is going to be a big test for the Chicago Bulls. Obviously, they got Carmelo coming off their bench. They got a beast in Enes Kanter coming off their bench. I mean, they got some talent. They've got some
Well,
talent in Portland.
Wendell should get his minutes then. Nurkic is a good matchup, at
Yep.
least size-wise for Wendell. Gonna need a bigger body. I don't know that Gafford's got the length and he's got the intensity, but he does seem a little fragile at times, which is surprising.
Gafford, I feel like, is as much as we like. You remember how he had those block shots last year, and they were just like emphatic, and we're like, okay, motherfucker, I see you. Yeah, I feel like when he gets back down in the paint, he's subject to spin moves. I've noticed if you throw a fucking spin to the left on him, you're beating him 9 times out of 10. And also the physicalness in the paint, and even going for a board. Like that's why I brought up in the beginning of the show, the offensive boards fucking were awesome because he's in there grinding to get those. So yeah, he's a tad bit fragile. So I think that Wendell has a tough task tomorrow against a guy like Nurkic, and then even
Is
coming
it
off the
tomorrow or is it Tuesday?
or Tuesday. I'm sorry. Coming up.
Oh, okay, I'm looking at my phone.
No,
I'm
no, no.
scrolling through FanDuel. Like, I got to win some more money on the Bulls. Probably going to think I'm to lose on Tuesday, but still, I
I
gotta get
keep
my
saying
back foot.
Monday. I apologize. But it's gonna be hard against Kanter and fucking Nurkic. That's a great big man duo. I don't care what anybody says. It's pretty decent, center and backup center combination there. So that'll be a tough one. But yeah, man, I'm gonna pick the Bulls to win that one. I'm not even fucking with you. Yeah, I think
You're
they're.
taking the Bulls to win that one. You think they're feeling it?
Yeah, I think they're feeling themselves. I think that Zach and Kobe are gonna try to step up against Lillard and CJ McCollum, and I think it's gonna pay off. Because this is so Bulls that they'll go in there, okay, and they might beat Portland, and then they're going to drop a deuce against the Kings the next night.
All right, no, that's the Bulls old. We're not even going to put that out in the universe. we're not dropping deuces against the Kings. We're not doing that. That's the game that we need to have. I can excuse and look past not having Lowry, Sato, some of your depth that you need to beat these better teams or even have a chance against these better teams. I can overlook losses to good Western Conference teams. I cannot overlook a loss to the Kings.
Yeah,
what, your face just did something weird. What did you just read?
I just looked at the score. You know, I told you they were going down. They're gonna be 3-3, and I just looked at the box score of that game. Steph Curry dropped 62 on those motherfuckers.
Oh no, yeah, he heard the trash talk. All the Lillard is greater than Steph stuff. Yeah, no, that he decapitated the shit out of that tonight.
Yeah, and then Oubre and Wiggins went 2-for-10 from three combined. they still won 137-122.
The lone splasher, because ain't nobody else splashing on that team right now.
Oh my god, is that fucking hilarious? That kills me. Whew. All right, well, that's all I got for tonight, man. You got anything else before we ride out here?
No, let's, I guess, keep it rolling or tank heavy. Figure it out. Let's not ride this in between wave too long.
Fucking figure it out. All right, we'll be back on Tuesday. I promise I'm going to buy some monsters, so we're here for that one. Be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls On Tap, at On Tap Sportsnet. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So give us a 5-star rating and review. We will be back Tuesday after the Bulls play the Portland Trail Blazers. Let's go, Bulls.